He barely kept his voice from quivering as he spoke, the rage was so acute. "Have you any idea what I sacrificed to put him in chains?" He had granted Theseus a favor. He had given away his control, and the thought made his chest feel like a chasm, split open and oozing. It was a sacrifice he'd made that was now worthless.
"Hades, I..."
"Do not speak my name," he roared, taking a step toward her. The whole room shook. Minthy shuffled away, her eyes wide. She was right to fear him. Usually, when he brought people before him for punishment, he had an idea of how he would go about the execution. But not in this moment. In this moment, anything was possible. This nymph thought she had known every emotion associated with anger and loss and grief. Hades would show her otherwise.
"I can explain."
"Was your jealousy so severe it blinded you from your loyalty?"
"I have only ever been loyal to you."
Minthy's eyes ignited like an ethereal fire. "Lies." The taste was bitter, and he spat before he spoke. "You are loyal only to yourself."
"I loved you."
Her cry was guttural and real and cruel.
"I loved you, and all you cared about was your imposter queen."
Hades snarled. Persephone was no imposter. The true fraud was before him, because if she had ever loved him, she would have never helped Sisyphus escape.
"You paraded her in front of me, undermining me, berating me, taunting me. You deserve to see your fate unravel. I hope Sisyphus pulls the thread."
There was silence. So she had understood half of the equation. The part where the fates had threatened to undo his future with Persephone if Sisyphus was not captured. It was information she had probably gained while spying. Well, she would spy no more, not for him. "If that is truly how you feel, then you have no place in the underworld." Minthy's mouth fell open.
"But this is my home,"
she said, her lips quivering. "Not anymore." His words were cold. The nymph swallowed.
Where will I go?
He did not know. She had never existed outside the boundaries of Hades' realm, even in the upper world. Her only connections were his connections, and those would evaporate the moment her exile leaked. No one would help her, because they would not wish to defy him. "That is not my concern. Minthy, you are banished forthwith from my kingdom. If you attempt to set foot here again, I will exhibit no mercy." Hades' magic closed in around her, and she vanished from sight. There was a beat of silence, and then he spoke. "Hermes, spread the word that I am willing to bargain with Sisyphus. If it is eternity he wants, he has only to come to Nevernight and request a contract." Eternal life wasn't something Hades could grant without sacrifice and required the same payment, a soul for a soul. It would mean that if he lost, the fates would take the life of a god. He was playing a game of fate.
"I don't suppose this can wait until morning?" Hermes asked, and when Hades looked at him, the god offered a nervous laugh.
"I mean, on it, my lord."
He vanished.
"Don't."
"Say I told you so?" Hecate asked. "I have waited too long for this moment. I told you to let me poison her, and before that, I told you to demote her, and before that, I told you to never sleep with her."
Hades sank to his throne. Suddenly, he was exhausted, and as he spoke, his voice was tired and quiet.
"I have enough regrets, Hecate," he said.
The goddess said nothing, and after a few seconds, she quietly disappeared. He was not alone long when Persephone entered the throne room, leaning against the door as it closed behind her. She looked sleepy and beautiful, dressed in a white nightgown and matching sheer robe. Her hair was wild and mussed, falling in gold waves down her back.
Her presence gave him the strength to straighten. "Why are you awake, my darling?" he asked.
"You were gone,"
she said, approaching. She settled into his lap, her legs draped over his, her hands tangling into his robes. She took a deep breath and burrowed into his chest.
"Why are you up?"
she asked, her voice a whisper. He considered telling her about the saga of Sisyphus, how he had cheated death twice and stolen the lives of two mortals, forever shattering their souls. But that explanation would also require divulging the fate's threat, and with Sisyphus on the run again, he preferred to keep that to himself. So instead he answered, "I could not sleep." She drew back, gazing up at him with heavy-lidded eyes.
"You could have woken me."
Her voice was an erotic whisper. It promised things like throbbing lips, pounding hearts, and soft heat. He raised a brow and asked, "What purpose would that serve?" Her hands dropped to his swollen sex, barely caressing it through his robes.
"Would you like a demonstration?"
Hades smirked and gathered her close, teleporting to the underworld. "Any word?" Hades asked Ilias as they walked the shadows of his club. He'd been hopeful that tonight would be the night Sisyphus would take him up on the offer of a bargain. "None," Ilias replied. "Word travels slow in the mortal underground." Hades frowned. The fates had not been pleased to learn that Sisyphus had escaped.
"Arrogant," Lachesis had said. "Overconfident," Clotho had hissed.
"Brash,"
Atropos had added. Hades had not argued with them. It was the first time he'd gone to them and feared them, feared their vengeance, feared that they would unravel the threads they'd taken such care to weave, ready to bask in his misery. But they hadn't. They'd merely asked who Hades was willing to trade if he lost his bargain with Sisyphus, a question he had not answered.
"He will come when he realizes he has nothing," the satyr said as they crested the stairs. "Hermes has managed to intercept several $1,000,000 of Sisyphus's stock. What would you like to do with it?"
Hades knew how to make a mortal desperate. It was possible that Sisyphus would have remained on the run if his business was still afloat, thinking that he could survive on the lives he'd already taken. But Hades had guessed the mortal's plans, and he had taken everything, would continue to take everything, until the man came begging. By the end of this, he would wish he had died when he was supposed to. "Burn it," he said, "and do not keep it a secret." Ilias departed then, and Hades entered his office and halted, finding Persephone sitting on his desk, naked. Her back was straight, her legs crossed, her perfect breasts rose with her breaths, her nipples rosy. He was instantly hard, instantly thankful Sisyphus had not arrived, and that Ilias had not followed him into his office. "Persephone," he said, closing the door and locking it.
"Hades," she said.
"You are aware that anyone could have come into this office?"
"I thought I would take a gamble,"
she said, a small smirk on her face. "Hmm," he said, loosening his tie as he approached.
"Do you use this desk?"
she asked, her hand smoothing over the obsidian. "No," he said. "I don't. I can't sit still." It was true. He hated to be confined.
"Pity," she said quietly. "It is a nice desk."
"I've never thought it of much use until now," he said.
"Oh?"
she asked with an innocent tilt of her head, eyes making a slow descent down his body to his cock, which strained against his trousers. She could not have made her desire more obvious. He bent, lips hovering over hers as he spoke.
"It's the perfect height," he said in a gruff whisper, "to fuck you."
She lifted her head just a little.
"Then what is taking you so long?"
He chuckled. "No one said you couldn't take what you wanted, my darling." Her hands moved to his cock, and Hades sucked in a breath between his teeth before his mouth covered hers and his hand knitted into her hair, fingers bracing against her scalp. He drew her head back, tongue sweeping her mouth. His other hand cupped her breast, fingers teasing her nipple into a tight peak. But Persephone's hands were frenzied, and they blazed a path down his chest to the button of his pants, and as she unfastened them, his sex sprung free, his head already leaking with pleasure. Her grasp was firm, and she tugged it a few times before positioning it at her entrance.
"I burn for you,"
she said, as Hades gripped the underside of her knees and pulled her to him, sheathing her in one slick movement. She arched against him, breasts pressing into his chest, head lolled back. He kissed her throat as he thrust into her. They moved together, uncontrolled, hands gripping, mouths caressing, tongues touching, breathings tangling. He changed positions, withdrawing from her only to turn her on her side and entered her with her legs pressed into her chest. Her breathing changed, her moans growing louder, and Hades continued, pumping harder, drawing her legs up to rest on his shoulder, reaching deeper. When he withdrew again, he gathered her into his arms and sat in the chair behind his desk. With her in his lap, her back to his chest, he guided himself inside her again. His hands drifted over her body, one on her breasts, the other teasing her clit. Persephone's head fell back into the crook of his shoulder, and he kissed and licked and bit her neck and shoulder. Finally, he could take it no longer and drove into her, coming out of his chair as he did, her whole body bouncing until they came in a rush. After, Hades cradled her body against him. "As much as I love seeing you naked and waiting for me," he said, "I'd really rather you only treat me to this view in the underworld. Anyone could have entered this office." She giggled.
"And what would you have done? To anyone who saw me?"
"I don't know," he admitted, and he drew his finger beneath her chin and tilted her head up so their eyes met. He wanted to ensure she registered the weight of his words. "That should scare you." She shivered, and he knew she understood. He could not predict how he might react. It could go one of two ways. He might understand it was the accident it was and let it go, or he would unleash the violence that lurked beneath his skin, the cruelty that had been imbued into his blood. After a moment, he drew Persephone close and carried her before the fire, then lowered her to her feet. She lifted her hand, fingers drifting over his lips.
"What do you want?"
she asked. "You," he said. "Always you." They kissed again, and Persephone eased Hades' jacket off. Their hands clashed as they both worked the buttons of his shirt free. Soon he was naked too, and together they knelt to the floor. While on their knees before each other, Hades' hand slipped between her thighs. He teased her opening, fingers dipping into her warm, wet flesh. Another arm wrapped around her waist, and he welded their bodies together as he moved deeper inside her, using one finger, then two. He loved the feel of her, the way her breath quickened, her cries of pleasure. It wasn't long before he guided her to her back, spread her legs as wide as they would go, and licked her, sucked her, teased her. Her hands tangled in his hair, and she pressed into him, hips moving. And when she came, she arched her back, her hands dug into his scalp, and he drank her, tongue lashing to catch every bit of her sweetness. When he was finished, he climbed up her body and slid into her, settled between her legs. He did not move immediately. He stared into her eyes, clear to her soul, seeing his life with her, their future, not just as king and queen, but as lovers. He brushed her hair from her face. It stuck to the perspiration that glistened across her forehead before kissing her lips. "You are beautiful," he said, and came up onto his toes, going deeper. She sighed and let out a breath.
"So are you,"
she replied. He chuckled and pulled out, the head of his cock barely inside her. I think you are mindless with pleasure, darling. She drew her lips between her teeth and then answered, Yes. She gave a shuddering breath as he pushed into her again. But I have always thought you were beautiful, more beautiful than any man I have ever seen. He continued to move, and they continued this easy conversation, and Hades had the thought, as he stared into her glittering eyes, that there was something different about the way they came together this time, something deeper and darker and even more intimate. I will never forget how I felt when I first saw you, she said. Tell me, he urged. Despite the warmth of the fire nearby and the sweat beating across their skin, she shivered. I felt your eyes on me, like hands touching my whole body. I had never felt so inflamed. I had never felt so afraid. Why afraid? He asked. He bent closer to her lips, and she shifted, her legs spreading further apart to accommodate his movements, which had grown in tempo. Because, she started, and then paused. Because I knew I could love you, and I wasn't supposed to. Hades' lips closed over hers, and it felt like his chest had opened up and all his thoughts and feelings were pouring into her. His pace quickened, and they were quiet after that. Even their moans and sighs were quiet until they reached their climax, coming in waves and collapsing in a heap of limbs and breaths and sweat. Hades rolled onto his back, and Persephone pressed into him, her head on his chest. Your mother hates me, Hades said. If she knew you were here, she would punish you. Persephone rolled onto him and sat up, straddling his body. His eyes ignited as her wet and swollen center cupped his hardening flesh. Only if she finds out, she replied. Will I always be your secret? Hades asked, doing his best to make it sound as if he were teasing. But there was a true challenge to his question, because her answer would tell him about how she thought of their future. Except she did not answer. I do not wish to talk about my mother, she said, her fingers threading with his, hips rolling against his own. And Hades didn't press. He didn't want to lose this moment, the way she guided his hands over his head and leaned over him. The way her breasts bounced as she impaled herself on his cock, the way she rode him until she was too tired to move. He had to take over then, rising into a sitting position so he could grip her body to his and continue creating that delicious friction that sent him over the edge, until his mind was blissfully blank, his concerns for their forever forgotten. Chapter 26 The Ride of a Lifetime. Why did I ask her on a date? I don't know anything about dating, Hades said, frustrated with himself. It had been a spur-of-the-moment decision, a moment where he had felt high and happy and indulgent. He had wanted to give Persephone everything, even a touch of normal. Because you want to spend time with her, get to know her, Hecate said, outside the bedroom. Hades glanced at her, annoyed. I know her. What's her favorite color? Hecate challenged. Pink, Hades said. Hecate pursed her lips. Favorite flower? She doesn't have one, Hades replied. She favors them all. What does she do in her spare time? What spare time? He asked. She was so busy. She went from class to work to him. He'd caught her in the library a few times, curled up in one of the chairs asleep, a book on her lap. What does she hate most? Hades offered a small smile. Our bargain. Do you love her? Yes, Hades said without hesitation. He had known since the night after the baths. Have you told her? No. Hades! Hecate crossed her arms over her chest. You must tell her. Hades tensed immediately. Why? He didn't see the need. Why expose himself to her rejection by admitting his feelings? He'd prefer to keep them to himself for now.
She needs to know, Hades. She may be struggling with her feelings. Your admission could help her sort them.
She either loves me or she doesn't, Hecate, Hades said.
The goddess's expression turned dark. There's nothing black and white about loving you, Hades, and if you think there is, especially for Persephone, you're an idiot.
Hecate,
she has been told to hate you her whole life. Her existence in the upper world is threatened every day she comes to your bed. She knows this, and yet she still does. She's telling you she loves you with her actions. Why do you need words to admit the same to her?
You allow her the option to tell me she loves me with actions. Can I not do the same?
No, because she won't understand, just like you don't understand. I know human nature, and before you spout off about being immortal, I will tell you that love, falling in love, being in love, heartbreak, it's the same no matter your blood.
There was a short pause, and Hades looked away, frustrated. He tried to imagine how he would tell Persephone that he loved her, but when he thought of saying the words, he could hear the silence that would follow, the awful pause as she searched for something to say to ease his embarrassment. He was certain she would reject him. While Hecate had attempted to quiz him on his knowledge of Persephone, he knew her better than the goddess realized, because he knew her soul. He was well aware of her thoughts when it came to how he handled mortals and their lives, how he bargained to annihilate their greatest sins. Even his work on the Halcyon Project would not erase the fact that he had roped her into one of those bargains, and it was for that reason that even if Persephone loved him, she would not say. Still, why did it matter to hear those words? Had he not told her that actions meant more? Because everything is different with her, he thought. Her words matter.
Now, Hecate said, if you're done sulking, let's plan this date.
Hades arrived outside Persephone's apartment, his stomach tangled. He felt ridiculous. He had fucked this woman, made love to her on the floor of his office, and yet he was nervous at the thought of taking her to dinner. He blamed Hecate. If it wasn't for their earlier conversation, he wouldn't feel so uncertain or so torn over expressing his feelings. His unease worsened when he noted Persephone's expression as she left her apartment, her brows pinched, gaze distant. She was distracted. "Is everything okay?" he asked as she approached.
"Yes," she said with a small smile. "It was just a busy day."
He wasn't satisfied with her answer, but he did not want to ruin their evening by challenging her at the start of their date, so he matched her smile and said, "Then let's get you off your feet." He opened the rear door and took her hand as he slid into the cabin of the limo. Hades followed close as Antony made his introductions. "My lady," he nodded, grinning at Persephone.
"It is good to see you, Antony,"
she replied with a sincerity that made Hades' heart ache. It was no wonder his people loved her. She was so genuine in her expression. "Just press the comm if you need anything." He rolled up the privacy window, and suddenly they were alone, and the cabin was full of thick, electric air and all the unspoken things he should be telling her. It was like she knew, like she couldn't get comfortable either, because she started to fidget, crossing and uncrossing her legs. Hades' eyes dropped to her bare thighs, eyeing her rising dress. He would much rather have his fingers, his face, his cock between those legs than think all these agonizing thoughts about admitting his love for her. He placed his hand on her thigh, and Persephone inhaled, slowly peeking up at him.
"I want to worship you."
"That," Hades thought, "I'll take that." "And how would you worship me, goddess?" His voice rumbled between them, and he watched, eyes darkening as she knelt in front of him, parting his thighs as she fitted herself between his legs.
"Shall I show you?"
How the fuck did he get so lucky? He swallowed, managing to keep the excitement from his voice. He could not say the same for his cock, which had grown full and thick. A demonstration would be appreciated. She freed his sex and clasped it in both of her hands, stroking him once as she met his gaze. He fisted his hands on his thighs to keep from fitting them behind her head and taking control. She bent to him, her tongue peeking out, tasting his crown and the cum that pooled there. He groaned, seeing her mouth full of him. His whole body tightened, and as his head rolled back, the car came to a stop. Fuck! Hades reached for the intercom, missing the button, distracted by Persephone's mouth as she took him deep, hitting the back of her throat. Antony, he gritted out, drive until I say otherwise. Yes, sir. He sat back, inhaling through his teeth, his hands twisted into her hair, fingers digging into her scalp. He held her there as she worked, and all he could think was that his heart felt raw and it beat hard and fast. His chest felt like the universe, expansive and full of love for this woman, this goddess, this queen. Who needed a realm of devoted souls when she would worship him like this? Her tongue crept back up his length, her lips fastening over the head of his cock, and her hands played with his balls. Persephone. He hissed her name, thrusting into her. He hit the top of her mouth and the back of her throat, his hands tightening in her hair until he came, growling her name. When she let go of him, he dragged her up his body and kissed her. He pulled away, her lips catching between his teeth. I want you, he said, as if it were a sin he was confessing. A smile ghosted her lips, still glistening from her work and their kiss. How do you want me? To start, he said, his hands trailing up her thighs, thumbs brushing the damp curls at her center. She straightened, hands planted on his shoulders. I'll take you from behind on your hands and knees. Her breath caught and she shivered. And then? His lips quirked. She was a tease, but he could play her game, parting her flesh and tickling her clit. She melted against him. I'll pull you on top and teach you how to ride me until you come apart. I like that one. Her hands dropped to his engorged flesh, and as she lifted herself, Hades helped her lower onto his shaft. She was warm and wet and tight. It was different from how her mouth felt, because her muscles clenched around him, putting pressure on every part of his cock. At first, he helped her move, ensuring she was seated fully before she rose up again. But after a few thrusts, he let her take over, finding her rhythm and her pleasure. Slowly, their breaths quickened, and the cabin of the limo grew warm, the air thick with their lovemaking. Her lips closed over his and traced his jaw, her teeth grazing his skin as she whispered, Tell me how I feel. Like life. She was life. His life. His hand slipped between them, teasing that sensitive, erect nub until she came with a guttural cry. Hades' arm tightened around her waist, and he pumped into her a few more times before he, too, came. He held her for a long time, resting inside her, savoring this moment, high off the intensity they'd shared. When she pushed away, Hades let Antony know they were ready to arrive at The Grove, one of his restaurants. They would enter from the parking garage, from a level where only Hades and his staff had access. As much as he questioned how long he would remain Persephone's secret, he did not want Demeter finding out about their relationship via the media. Once they arrived, Hades helped Persephone out of the limo, directing her to an elevator. Where are we? She asked as the doors opened. He led her inside and pressed the button for the 14th floor, which led to the rooftop. The doors closed, trapping her scent. He eyed the emergency stop button, wondering how many times he could make her come before someone came to their unnecessary and unwanted rescue. The Grove, my restaurant, he added, because it was not common knowledge that he owned any business outside of Nevernight. You own The Grove? How does no one know?
He shrugged. I let Ilias run it and prefer that people think he owns it. He chose to keep his assets a secret. It was better that way. No one truly knew how powerful Hades was or how much of New Greece he really owned. The elevator stopped and the doors opened to reveal the rooftop. It was made to look like one of the gardens in the underworld, with beds of roses and peonies, climbing ivies and trees heavy with fruit and flora.
This is beautiful, Hades, she said as he guided her along a dark stone path.
Lights crossed over their heads, leading to an open grove where their table waited. He pulled out her chair and poured their wine.
You said your day was busy, Hades began, sipping the wine.
He did not often switch to drinking anything but whiskey, and he had to admit he missed the smoky taste of his favorite liquor as much as he missed Persephone's mouth on his. She hesitated, and Hades realized maybe that wasn't the question to ask. Their conversations about her work never went well. He could tell she was hiding something, even as she answered,
Yes, I had a lot to research.
He took another sip of the wine. It was bitter and burned his throat, but it helped him focus on something other than his irritation about her work. What was she researching? His past? His bargains? Had she created a list of questions to ask him tonight, or brought another list of names?
I thought Cerberus was a three-headed dog, she said suddenly.
Hades was taken off guard, and he chuckled, raising a brow. Is this the research you were referring to?
All the texts say he has three heads, she said defensively.
He does, Hades answered, amused. When he wants to.
What do you mean, when he wants to?
Cerberus, Typhon, and Orthrus are able to shift. Sometimes they prefer to exist as one. Other times they prefer to have their own bodies. He shrugged. I let them do what they wish, so long as they protect the borders of my realm.
How did you come to own him?
She paused and then corrected herself.
Them.
He is the son of the monsters Echidna and Typhon, who came to reside in my realm, Hades said.
You love animals?
He chuckled at that. Cerberus is a monster, not an animal. A line appeared between Persephone's brows.
But you love him?
He stared at her for a moment, and he sensed that this question, and her reason for asking it, meant more than he realized. Yes, he said at last. I love him. Hades was relieved when she moved on from that line of questioning, to tell stories about the souls she'd spent her evening with the day before. He had begun to make it a point to walk with her, visit Asphodel, and greet the souls. She had even convinced him to play with the children, something he was far too competitive to take lightly. As they talked, they ate. And when they were finished, they walked hand in hand through the rooftop garden.
What do you do for fun?
She asked, peering up at him sheepishly. What do you mean? He had an answer, and it involved her and his bed. Actually, it just involved her. He could fuck her anywhere. She giggled.
The fact that you just ask that says everything. What are your hobbies?
Cards. Riding. He paused, reaching. Damn, this was harder than he thought. Drinking.
What about things not related to being the god of the dead?
Drinking is not related to being god of the dead.
It also isn't a hobby, unless you're an alcoholic.
He was probably an alcoholic. Then what are your hobbies?
Baking,
she answered automatically, and he could tell by her expression that she truly loved it. Baking? I feel like I should have known about this sooner.
Well, you never asked.
He found himself wishing to experience this hobby with her. He wanted to know why it brought her such joy. What about it calmed her and smoothed the worry from her face? He frowned as they continued their walk, pausing so she would turn to look at him. Teach me. Her eyes widened.
What?
Teach me, he said, to bake something.
She laughed, and Hades' pout became more pronounced. He was serious. She seemed to realize this, and her expression softened.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining you in my kitchen.
And that's difficult?
Well, yeah. You're the god of the underworld.
And you're the goddess of spring, he pointed out. You stand in your kitchen and make cookies. Why can't I?
She stared at him, and he wondered for a moment if he'd broken her. He reached to touch the edge of her lips, which had fallen into a frown.
Are you well?
His question brought a smile to her face, and yet something still seemed wrong. He noted her eyes glistening, as if she were close to tears. Very well, she agreed, and surprised him by pressing a kiss to his mouth and pulling away too soon. I'll teach you.
Well then, he said, hands on her waist. Let's get started.
Wait, you want to learn now?
Now is as good a time as any, he said. I thought maybe we could spend time at your apartment.
Again she seemed stunned, and he shrugged his shoulder, explaining,
You're always in the underworld.
You want to spend time in the upper world, in my apartment?
He would have to suggest this more often. It was taking entirely too long for her to get the point.
I have to prepare Lexa for your arrival, she said.
Fair enough. I'll have Antony drop you off. He looked down at his suit. I need to change.
Chapter 27. Teaching an Old God New Tricks. Hades returned Persephone to the Lexus and teleported to the underworld, appearing in his chambers. He took a moment to down a glass of whiskey. He hated himself for what he was about to do.
Hermes!
He summoned the god with a single command, and he appeared, wearing a mesh crop and tiny leather shorts.
What the fuck had he interrupted?
Yes, god of death and dark... Hermes' voice faded away as his eyes swept the room. When he met Hades' gaze again, he seemed dazed. Am I dreaming?
I need your...
help,
Hades said. I am dreaming. Hermes slapped his face.
Hermes, Hades gritted out.
No, no, he said, putting up his hands as if to silence him. He took a breath. Don't ruin this for me. I might be dreaming, but I'm about to live out one of my top five fantasies.
Hades slapped the god, who looked shocked.
This isn't a dream, Hermes.
They stared at one another, and in the silence, Hades raised a brow.
Top five, huh?
Hermes lifted his chin and cleared his throat. What did you need?
First, I think we can agree that neither one of us will disclose what goes on here tonight.
The god's eyes widened and his mouth fell open. Oh, my gods, I really am dreaming.
Hermes, Hades snapped. I need fashion advice.
Oh. He blinked and then broke into a grin. Why didn't you say so?
Hades glared at the god. He should have downed a bottle before summoning the god. After a moment, he explained,
Persephone is teaching me to bake. What do I wear?
She's teaching you to bake? Surprise colored Hermes' voice. And you're participating? Willingly?
Hades glared. You must really love her.
Hermes!
Hades warned. If he had to say the god's name one more time, he'd send him to Tartarus for the night. He seemed to get the hint and straightened.
Right. Casual baking date.
He dashed to Hades' closet.
Why do you only wear suits? Hermes complained. What do you sleep in?
Nothing, Hades answered. What's the point?
Clothing was hot, and it meant more layers to get to what he wanted, even when Persephone was not sleeping beside him.
Hermes sighed. You are impossible. Hold on.
He vanished for a moment and returned with a black shirt and a pair of gray sweatpants.
What are those?
Hades asked, voice dripping with judgment.
Clothes, Hermes said. Casual clothes.
Not that I expect you to know the definition of casual, Mr. Suit and Tie. He shoved them at Hades' chest. Change. He glowered at Hermes as he made his way to the bathroom. When he returned, Hermes clapped his hands. Perfect! You're ready to bake. Then the god shook his head. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. Hades pulled at the shirt, and Hermes swatted his hand away. Stop! You don't want Sephi to know I dressed you, do you?
Sephi?
What? It's her nickname. Hades wasn't sure how he felt about the fact that Hermes had a nickname for his lover. Go, before Persephone thinks you changed your mind, Hermes said. Oh, and I'll take payment in cookies. He sung the last word before vanishing, and Hades had never been so glad to be rid of a god in his life. Hades appeared outside Persephone's apartment door and knocked. It opened immediately, and he wondered if she had been standing on the other side, waiting for his arrival. She offered him an appraising look, but her eyes quickly narrowed. Did you own those before today? She pointed to the sweatpants. She knew him well, and he grinned, admitting, No. She stepped aside, and he squeezed through the door. It reminded him of how he was not made for mortal dwellings. The doors were too short, the walkways too narrow, but he didn't mind the closeness with Persephone so near. She stared up at him, almost like she couldn't believe he had shown up. What? He asked.
Nothing.
She gave a quick smile and stepped around him, taking his hand in hers and dragging him into the living room, where her best friend, Lexa, sat on a couch with a man Hades did not know.
Hades, this is Lexa, my best friend, and Jason, her boyfriend.
Jason waved. Hades could sense his unease and awkwardness, but he was a good enough man, gentle and unassuming, the opposite of Lexa, who was bold and energetic. She approached him fearlessly and threw her arms around his waist in a hug.
It's nice to meet you, she said.
Hades wrapped an arm around her shoulders. Very few have ever spoken those words. But he appreciated them.
So long as you treat my best friend right, I'll continue to be happy to see you, she said with a grin.
Noted, Lexa Sedaris. He grinned and bowed. May I say, it is a pleasure to meet you. Lexa blushed and cleared her throat, glancing at Persephone before exclaiming,
So, are you going to make cookies? That's not code for something, is it?
Hades hoped it was code for something, like sex. But Persephone was quick to dash that hope by rolling her eyes.
No, Lexa, it's not code for something.
She took Hades' hand and pulled him toward the kitchen. We better get started. It occurred to him that she had gotten more comfortable touching him, and he wasn't sure at what point that had begun, but he liked it. Persephone's kitchen was small and bathed in fluorescent light. She had already prepared a few things. Bowls, a set of mismatched measuring cups, and a cookbook. Hades glanced at the page.
We will be making sugar cookies? He asked.
My favorite,
she said, pulling her bottom lip into her mouth. He really wished she wouldn't do that. It made him hard, and that kept him distracted. Maybe he should tell her. Except she was perfectly oblivious and instructed him to retrieve a list of ingredients. Despite the lack of storage, she had everything organized and directed him easily, like she was used to getting her way.
Why do you put everything up so high? He asked.
It's the only place it will fit. In case you haven't noticed, I don't live in a palace.
He was well aware, thinking that he would very much like to see her bake in the underworld kitchens. Once she had everything on her list, he grinned proudly.
What would you do without me?
Get it myself.
Hades snorted. He would like to see that. She would have to climb the countertop, which would give him a great view of her ass.
Well, get over here. You can't learn from there.
He pushed away from the counter, where he was leaning, and approached, bracing his arms on either side of her body, trapping her against the counter. He didn't lean into her, but he thought about it. His dick was hard, and it would fit perfectly against that ass he'd just fantasized about. Instead, he pressed his lips to her ear. "Please, instruct." It took her a moment to speak, and Hades smirked. He hoped she was just as distracted as him. What fantasies did she get lost in at night or at work while they were apart? The most important thing to remember when baking is that the ingredients have to be measured and mixed right, or it could mean disaster. He heard what she said, but his mind was on other things, like shoving his hand down her pants to see how wet she was. His grip tightened on the countertop, but that only kept him from acting on his thoughts. It did not prevent him from pressing his lips to her neck and letting his tongue taste her skin. Her breath caught in her throat, and she glared at him over her shoulder. "Scratch that. The most important thing to remember is to pay attention." She shoved a measuring cup into his hand. "First, flour," she commanded, and he smirked. She took baking seriously. He kept his arms around her as he worked. Measuring flour was like walking through ash. It clouded the air and stuck to the skin. When he had it in the bowl, he bent his head to hers, noting her rigid posture. Then he leaned in, and as his full erection pressed into her, she laid her palms flat on the counter. He raised a teasing brow. "Next."
"Baking soda."
They continued like that until all the ingredients were in the bowl and mixed into a batter. Persephone took that moment to duck under his arm, freeing herself from the human cage he'd created for her. She unstacked a set of sheet pans and gave him a spoon. "Use this to scoop the batter and make them into 1-inch balls." She cleared her throat when she said the word balls, and all he could think was how she'd teased his in the back of the limo with his cock in her mouth, and everything tightened. Fuck. They worked together, each of them scooping batter into a spoon and transferring it onto the baking sheet. When Hades was finished, he compared the two, and Persephone's skills were beyond his own. She'd made perfect rounds out of her batter. Hades were misshapen and messy, like he'd slung the mixture all over the pan. He was envious of her control. "Put this on," Persephone said, handing him a floral mitt.
"What is it?"
"It's an oven mitt," she said, "so you don't get burned when you put the cookies in the oven." He considered telling her that he was, essentially, fireproof, but kept quiet, sliding the mitt onto his hand, only to hear Persephone giggle. His gaze snapped to hers.
"Are you laughing at me?"
She cleared her throat quickly. "No, of course not." His eyes narrowed, an unspoken promise of payment for this humiliation. Once the cookies were in the oven, Hades pulled off the mitt. He had intentions of scooping her into his arms and feasting on her mouth, but she had other plans.
"Now we make icing."
She smiled, eyes alight. He'd have liked to lick icing from every part of her body, but she handed him some type of cooking utensil with a narrow handle and wire loops.
"What am I supposed to do with this?" he asked.
"It's a whisk. You'll beat the ingredients together," she said, and poured various ingredients into a bowl, pushing it toward him when she was finished.
"Beat."
Now that was something he excelled at. Happily.
"That's good,"
Persephone said, practically snatching the bowl from Hades after he'd been whipping the mixture for a few minutes. Perhaps he'd gotten carried away. There were pieces of the mixture all over the counter, his shirt, and her. She divided the icing into a few waiting bowls and handed him a small tube of green.
"Start with a few drops and mix."
They made colorful icing. Persephone worked on the bright colors, yellow and pink and lavender, while Hades made darker colors, red and green and even black, a color Persephone had helped him make. Toward the end, he caught her licking icing from her fingers.
"How does it taste?" he asked, reaching for her hand.
He drew one of her fingers deep into his mouth and groaned. She was sweet and salty, and the way she looked at him while he tasted her made the fire in his stomach deepen.
"Delicious." She drew her fingers away, and there was a beat of silence. Now what? Their eyes met, and the air in the room was almost unbearable. Hades planted his hands on her waist and lifted her onto the counter. Persephone laughed and drew her legs around him, pulling him so his cock was settled against her core. He kissed her mouth, parting her lips. She tasted like the icing she'd sucked from her fingers. He buried one hand in her hair, the other reaching between them to grip her breasts, when someone cleared their throat. Loudly. Persephone pulled away from his kiss while Hades' hands fell to the countertop, his head resting against her shoulder. He needed time to collect himself. If they had been in the underworld and interrupted by one of his staff, he wouldn't have stopped.
Lexa! Persephone cleared her throat. What's up?
I was wondering if you guys wanted to watch a movie?
Say no, Hades whispered, teasing her ear. Persephone slapped playfully at his chest.
What movie? Clash of the Titans?
Hades snorted and drew away from her, looking at Lexa. Old or new?
Old.
Fine, he agreed, and kissed Persephone on the cheek. Going to need a minute. Hades left the kitchen, disappearing down a hallway until he found the bathroom. He shut himself inside and leaned against the door, reaching into his pants and clasping his cock. He'd have much rather had Persephone's hand on him, her mouth around him, her sex clenching his own, but this would have to suffice until they were alone. He worked himself until he came. When the cookies were finished, they took them out and let them cool while they watched Clash of the Titans.
Gods, I forgot this movie was so slow, Jason said, who was the only one paying attention.
With Persephone lying on top of him, her body fitting between his thighs, Hades could only think about sex. She was also giggling, and he wasn't certain she was laughing at the movie. I know what you're thinking, he whispered, his arm tightening around her, bodies pressing hard together.
You can't possibly know.
After what I put myself through this evening, I'm sure there are several things you are laughing at. At some point, Persephone fell asleep, and he carried her to her bedroom.
Don't leave, she said sleepily when he lowered her onto the bed.
I'm not. He kissed her forehead. Sleep. Hades lay beside her, wide awake. Her bed was small and smelled like her. He closed his eyes, but his body felt hot and his brain was too wired, thinking about their earlier encounter in the kitchen and how he wanted to finish what they started. But Persephone was tired, and he didn't want to wake her, so he rolled onto his side and closed his eyes tight. It felt like forever before he fell asleep, and it only lasted for a few seconds before he was awake again, his body on top of Persephone's, his mouth devouring her skin. She moaned and reached for him, their kisses urgent, as if they hadn't been together in weeks, months. Hades pulled her shirt off and dumped her out of her pants before diving between her thighs. He took her slow, nipping at the inside of her legs, blowing on her hot core, sucking on her clit until she begged for his tongue. He gave her his fingers, inserting them into her heat. She was soaked, and he groaned. All of this for me, he said, as he left her body, her cum thick and dripping, and drew his fingers into his mouth before covering her body with his own. Her legs fell apart, and she arched her back, breasts filling his vision as he entered her. He paused as he loomed over her, pressing his forehead to hers. You are beautiful, he said.
You feel good, she whispered. You feel like power.
He felt controlled at first, like maybe he could make love to her the way he had in front of the fireplace in his office, except that the more she reacted to the invasion of his cock, gripping his arms and the blankets and pressing her head into the mattress, he couldn't control himself. A fierce, claiming growl erupted from his throat, and he kissed her hard, teeth grazing her lips, sucking her neck, and thrusting into her, moving her entire body until they were crammed against the headboard. Hades used his hands to cushion her head while Persephone's nails scraped down his back. He didn't even feel the sting, just the ecstasy of their coupling. The bed shook, their guttural cries filling the room, and when he came, he collapsed upon her, their bodies slick with sweat. It wasn't until he caught his breath that he realized she was crying. Persephone. He pushed away from her, feeling hysteria build in the bottom of his stomach. Did I hurt you?
No,
she whispered, covering her eyes, and he felt an immense sense of relief.
No, you didn't hurt me.
He stared down at her for a moment as she wept quietly. He knew there could be a number of reasons for her tears, but he would not speculate and he would not ask. If she wished to tell him, she could. Still, he did not wish for her to hide, no matter the reason. He pried her hands from her face, brushed the wetness from her cheeks, and kissed her forehead before moving to his side and tucking her against him. He covered their naked bodies with blankets. You are too perfect for me, he whispered, kissing her hair, and they fell into a peaceful slumber. Hades woke instantly, and this time it had nothing to do with desire and everything to do with the smell of Demeter's magic. It curled through the air like a bitter frost. He rolled into a sitting position, but did not manage to manifest clothes before Demeter appeared, eyes like fire, face as cold as ice. Persephone, oblivious to her mother's arrival, rolled toward him, her hand reaching out across the sheets.
Come back to bed.
His heart squeezed in his chest, and then her mother's voice filled the room, a sound like thunder and lightning warring in the sky. Get away from my daughter!
Mother!
Persephone sat up and paled, holding her sheets to her chest. Get out! Demeter's gaze fell upon Persephone, and it took everything in Hades' power to remain where he was. He wanted to protect her from her mother, from the promise of revenge he saw written on her face. Even if he had roused Persephone in time to dress, it would have been impossible to hide what they'd been doing. Their scents clung to each other, their bodies still slick with the smell of sex. Persephone reached for her nightshirt and shoved it over her head, covering herself as quickly as possible.
How dare you!
Demeter's voice shook, her mouth quivering with rage. Hades remained sitting in the bed, body tense, ready to pounce at the barest hint of attack.
How long?
Demeter demanded. Months, Hades wanted to say, because he knew it would antagonize the goddess of harvest. But it was one thing to receive Demeter's anger on his own, and another thing entirely to watch Persephone suffer beneath it.
It's really none of your business, mother, Persephone snapped. You forget your place, daughter. And you forget my age. I'm not a child. You are my child, and you have betrayed my trust.
Demeter's magic was gathering around her like a vortex. Hades knew the goddess was preparing to teleport her daughter, and while he remained on edge, he was not afraid. Demeter couldn't take Persephone from him while she was indebted to him. Still, seeing Persephone look frantically from him to her mother broke his heart.
No, mother! You will no longer live this disgraceful mortal life!
Persephone closed her eyes, and he found himself torn between intervening and wishing to see how Persephone would react. Embrace your power, he thought. It was the perfect time, as she was protected by his mark. I know it is fighting inside you. But she didn't. Demeter's magic had culminated, and Persephone remained still, eyes closed, accepting of her mother's punishment like a pawn in a game. Except that, as Demeter snapped her fingers, nothing happened. Her face fell, wavering between shock and anger, eyes finally falling to the gold cuff Persephone wore to cover the evidence of their bargain. Demeter snatched the bracelet from her wrist, gripping her arm. Hades felt his magic pool. He would fight the goddess for his lover. He would kill her if she left a mark.
What did you do?
Demeter demanded,
turning her fierce and hateful gaze upon him.
"Don't touch me!"
Persephone tried to pull free of her mother's grip, but Demeter's nails bit into her skin and she cried out.
"Release her, Demeter."
Hades spoke quietly, but his rage was acute.
"Don't you dare tell me what to do with my daughter!"
Hades snapped his fingers, and he was suddenly dressed, rising to his full height. His power gathered around him, an invisible but tangible weight he knew Demeter could sense. She released her hold on Persephone, who retreated to the other side of the room.
"Your daughter and I have a contract. She will stay until she fulfills it."
"No!"
Demeter looked at Persephone.
"You will remove your mark. Remove it, Hades!"
"The contract must be fulfilled, Demeter. The fates command it." She had tried to deceive the fates once. She could not do it again.
The goddess of harvest glared at Persephone.
"How could you?"
"How could I? It's not like I wanted this to happen, Mother." He flinched, unable to hide the impact of her words. He was well aware that she was just speaking the truth, one he already knew well. Persephone had not wanted the bargain, and while it did not mean that she did not want him, he could not help thinking that with the end of their contract came the end of them.
"Didn't you? I warned you about him. I warned you to stay away from the gods. And in doing so, you left me to this fate."
Warnings only planted the seed of intrigue, something Demeter should have learned after existing for so many years. But she, like many gods, fell victim to mortal assumptions, one of those being she could be the exception.
"So you blame me? When all I did was try to protect you? Well, you will see the truth very soon, daughter."
If Demeter had been trying to protect Persephone, she wouldn't have kept her powers from manifesting. Demeter had made her daughter codependent, ensuring she would always need her, need someone to survive. Hades hated that, and he hoped by the end of this, before their contract was said and done, her powers would manifest. That desire intensified as he watched Demeter strip Persephone of her favor, exposing her divine form. The goddess was not gentle, tearing the power away with such force Persephone fell to her knees, gasping for breath.
"When the contract is fulfilled, you will come home with me," Demeter said. "You will never return to this mortal life, and you will never see Hades again."
Demeter glared at him before vanishing, and Hades swore in that moment the goddess of harvest would regret her actions. He scooped Persephone up from the floor, cradling her against him as he sat on the edge of the bed. She couldn't seem to catch her breath.
"Shh," Hades crooned. "Everything will be okay, I promise."
She burst into tears.
"I don't regret you. I didn't mean that I regretted you."
He was glad she said it, even though he had known she hadn't meant the words.
"I know."
Hades kissed her tears away. There was a knock at the door, but before Hades or Persephone could speak, Lexa entered and halted, eyes wide as she took in Persephone's appearance.
"What the fuck?"
There was no hiding her divinity. Persephone was the goddess of spring. Hades half expected her to beg him to erase Lexa's memory, but instead, she pulled away and stood, appearing tall and regal as she spoke.
"Lexa," he heard her say, "I have something to tell you."
Chapter 28, A Picnic in the Underworld. Hades left Persephone's apartment, teleporting to Olympia. He hated that he had to return, hated that he had to go before Zeus, but it was necessary, and just as he suspected, Demeter had already arrived. He could hear her voice outside Zeus's office.
"He cannot have my daughter, Zeus," she cried. "I will starve your people if you let him keep her."
When Hades entered, she whirled to face him. Demeter's face changed when she was in a rage. Hades imagined Persephone had seen it over and over again.
Her eyes seemed to sink into her face and darken. She leaned forward, shoulders hunched, like the weight of her fury was too much to handle.
You!
Kill everyone, Demeter. It only makes me more powerful. Hades, Zeus said, sitting behind his oak desk.
Is what Demeter says true? Have you seduced her daughter?
I did not seduce her, Hades said. She came to me willingly on more than one occasion. He glared at the goddess of harvest, and she glared back.
Liar! The mark on her wrist tells me otherwise.
Zeus looked at Hades, waiting for his answer. She invited me to her table. The mark was fairly placed.
It sounds as though Persephone has made her own decisions, Demeter,
Zeus said.
She is my daughter, Hades. I have a right to decide her fate.
Hades did not look at the goddess, but at his brother.
She is Demeter's daughter, Hades said, but she is destined to be my wife. The fates have woven her into my future, and Demeter has interfered.
There were a few things that scared Zeus, but the fates were one.
Is this true, Demeter?
He looked to the goddess for her answer, but Hades responded instead. He was ready for this to be over.
It was what the fates demanded in exchange for giving her a daughter.
I will never believe that she came to you willingly,
Demeter seethed.
The fates be damned.
I am sure Hecate would be happy to testify on my behalf, Hades added.
That will not be necessary, Zeus said,
and he knew his brother did not want to appear as if he were questioning the goddess of witchcraft. Theirs was an old friendship, a strange one, and just as Hades relied on her for advice, so did Zeus.
Demeter, I will not grant your request. It seems your wishes are not in line with the will of the fates.
Demeter's fury gathered, and massive roots broke through Zeus's marble floor. Hades cast his magic like a net, enveloping the entire place in shadow, blinding the goddess and Zeus. Their battle was short-lived, however, as a bolt of Zeus's lightning separated the two. With their concentration lost, their magic faded.
I will not mediate childish fights between you two, Zeus said. My word is law, and you will both abide.
Hades glared. Childish fights? There was nothing childish about his love of Persephone, nothing childish about the wrath of Demeter. Still, he was thankful Zeus had sided with him. Not that it meant a lot in the end. Persephone was her own person. She had free will. If she wanted, she could leave him.
There is another matter we must discuss, Zeus said.
Hades did not think it was possible, but the mood of the room darkened.
A goddess has not been born in centuries. Has she any power?
None to speak of,
Demeter answered quickly. Hades glared at her. She answered too fast. Zeus looked to Hades. He would have to respond truthfully.
Her power is dormant. She has shown no ability to wield it.
Zeus was quiet, ever suspicious of new gods. It was only fair that he feared a rebellion like the one he had led against their father.
I wish to meet her.
No, the two said instantly. Zeus's eyes flashed.
Persephone has no desire to embrace her divinity as of yet, Hades explained.
Introducing her to Olympia too soon may scare her away. We would never know how truly powerful she was then. His brother studied him.
Let her remain where she is, Hades said.
Hecate will train her, and when her powers start to surface, I will bring her to you myself. It was the only way he'd allow the meeting to take place. It was inevitable, but it would be inevitable with him by her side. Zeus's eyes narrowed, and then he chuckled.
Ever the protector, brother. Very well. As soon as she shows her power, you will bring her to me.
He paused a moment, his hand resting on his stomach, and shook his head.
A goddess, masquerading as a mortal journalist. No wonder you fell in love, Hades.
Once they were outside Zeus's office, Demeter turned to him.
Your life may be woven with my daughter's, but that does not mean you were meant to love one another.
I will always love her, Hades said. It was the only thing he could promise. And I care for what I love.
If you cared, you would have never touched her. She is a daughter of spring.
And a queen of darkness, Hades countered. If you wish to be angry with anyone, be angry with yourself. It was you who planted the seed of her betrayal. You who pushed her further away with your tyranny. You who left her powerless and afraid. She deserves loyalty and freedom and power.
And you think you can give her that, king of death and darkness?
I think she can take it for herself, he replied, and vanished, leaving Demeter alone with her fury. In the weeks that followed, Hades tried to distract Persephone from her mother's wrath, but she seemed to grow more morose. He saw it most when she thought he was not looking, in the moments before he surprised her by appearing in the library while she read, or just before she left the palace for a walk, or in the early mornings when she rose before him to shower and dress. She was creating distance between them. He could feel it growing, pulling at the threads that bound them for eternity, and it hurt. He found her standing in front of her still desolate garden. He hated to find her here, staring at this patch of land that had come to mean so much to both of them. He wrapped his arms around her waist and pulled her back against him. "Are you well?" he asked, his head falling against her shoulder. She did not answer, and the weight in his stomach felt sharp and acute. She turned in his arms, staring up at him, and he got the sense that she wanted to ask him something. Instead, she answered him.
"I'm just stressed. Finals."
He studied her, eyes searching. "Persephone, you can tell me anything." She frowned, as if she did not believe him, and Hades felt the inside of his chest wilt, like a flower exposed to too much sun. He closed his hand over her wrist, where the mark covered her skin. "Are you worried about the contract?" he asked. She looked away. He didn't know what to say. The contract was binding. The terms had to be fulfilled. He could not comfort her with promises that everything would be okay when he knew what she wanted, the ability to move between worlds. It was a reality he was coming to terms with, that his love for her would never be enough. She would need her freedom, too. "Come," he said. "I have a surprise for you." He guided her hand to his, threading their fingers together, and tugged her toward the open field outside the garden. They walked for a while, entering the forest on the other side of the field. He did not follow a set path, navigating between trees to a meadow where a blanket was spread and a basket of food waited.
"What's this?" Persephone asked, looking up at Hades.
"I thought we might have dinner," he said, "a picnic in the underworld." She raised a brow, suspicious.
"Did you pack the basket?"
"I helped," he said. "I even made cookies." Persephone grinned.
"You made cookies?"
"You are far too excited," he said. "Lower your expectations." But she was already racing to the blanket. She fell to her knees and opened the basket, digging inside until she located what she was looking for, a small bag of chocolate chip cookies. Hades had slaved over them. It had taken hours in the kitchen last night, and he had made a mess Milan, the head chef, had been very unhappy about. Persephone sat cross-legged and opened the bag. "You know those are for dessert," Hades said as he lowered himself to the blanket.
"And I'm an adult. I can have dessert for dinner if I want."
Hades chuckled and fished out the remaining items he had packed. Meats and cheeses, fruits and breads. Last, a bottle of wine and his flask. He wasn't keen on another evening spent drinking fermented grapes. He popped a cube of cheese in his mouth and took a drink from his flask as Persephone bit into a cookie. It crunched loudly, and Hades flinched. They were not at all like the cookies they had made together. Hers were soft, chewy, melt-in-your-mouth delicious. His were hard and kind of burnt. "You don't have to eat those," Hades assured her as she continued to crunch.
No, they are the best cookies I have ever had.
Hades raised a brow. You don't have to lie.
I'm not.
She wasn't, but he didn't understand. He knew those cookies were terrible.
They're the best because you made them.
Hades snorted.
I'm serious, she said. No one's ever made anything for me before.
Hades stared at her for a moment, and suddenly he was the one who felt ridiculous for not taking her words for granted. I'm glad you like them, he said, his voice quiet. They sat in silence. Persephone continued to eat his cookies, and he continued to drink. After a moment, she rose to her knees.
Do you want one?
She came toward him and held out her hand, a cookie clasped between her fingers. Hades grasped her wrist and bit into the cookie. It was exactly what he expected. Hard and bland, only slightly sugary. Still, he loved it if she loved it. As he chewed, her eyes dropped to his lips, and he raised a brow. Hungry, darling. He wasn't sure how she would answer, given her earlier sadness. But when she lifted her eyes to his, he could see her longing.
Yes,
she answered. He leaned in to press his mouth to hers. For a while, they maintained their distance as they kissed. Hades enjoyed this, the feeling of desire building up inside him, resisting the urge to take her into his arms and touch her. He ran his tongue along her mouth, and just as he was about to pull her to him, he pushed her away as a ball flew between them, followed by Cerberus, Typhon, and Orthrus.
Sorry!
Hecate's voice came from the trees beyond. Hades sighed, and Persephone giggled.
Oh, a picnic,
Hecate said as she appeared in the clearing.
Hades made cookies, Persephone said. Would you like one?
Hecate did not hide her obvious surprise and looked at him.
You baked?
He glowered, and Persephone, who was either oblivious to his obvious discomfort or did not care, said,
I taught him.
Hecate laughed and took a cookie. Hades was a little relieved. Maybe she would leave, and he and Persephone could get back to kissing. Except that Persephone had other